But you know, it's something like that that begins to show me that there is really no limitations in God. Because none of us had experience at 20 feet high putting up sheets of drywall. None of us, we could look at these walls down here, which were double sheets, and we'd go, now that was a task. Well, triple that. And you know what? Through the grace of God, we as a group of unskilled laborers, we did it. Yeah. We did it. And when I look at upstairs, now we do have some skilled laborers in the midst, but as a whole, we're doing it. Are we not? Yeah. Through the grace of God, we're doing it. And really, it's things like what's going on in our lives right now, and ultimately moving to this wild and crazy province of snow and freezing cold, that God is showing me that I can dream dreams and believe God for far bigger things than I ever imagined. As you know, when Kelly and I first moved here, and this is not in my notes, so hopefully I don't go too long today, but when we came here, I came here lost, but ready to start painting all over again. And now I have a wonderful crew. And at almost 57, I'm thinking of two more different businesses already. Because God has shown me that I can do all things through Him. When I look at my mortal body, I'm going, that's insanity. When I wake up in the morning, I'm going, no. But God doesn't look at our mortal bodies, does He? And there's a grace that has been placed upon us to do anything that we can ask or imagine. And I feel compelled this morning to stir you up. Because as I've been studying something on my topic this morning, my goal this morning is even but one catches what I'm sharing, then I've more than accomplished anything that I can imagine. Because it takes just one that is willing to say, here I am. I won't get it all done today, and given time, I'll have an opportunity to complete what I want to share this morning. But as I began to go through my notes, I went, this is impossible. I can't do this in 45 minutes or half an hour. There's just no way. This is just far too big. But if I can give you a title for this morning, it's called Hosting His Presence. And I want to give you some illustrations based on Scripture that begin to reveal how the Holy Spirit works, or how He desires to work through you and I. So if you're ready, open your Bibles, your notebooks, your laptops, your phones, whatever you might have handy, open them up. Because we're going to spend some time in Scripture. And the first one that we're going to go to is 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. God is so good, amen. He rocks my world every day. Because now I'm starting to recognize how He rocks my world every day. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." The King James called us peculiar people, and it's always something that I've grabbed a hold of. And when I thought of the word peculiar, my first thoughts were different. And of course, God, in His wonderful wisdom, brings a whole bunch of different people into a body, calls it a church, and says, we're going to do something together. And we're all very different. So that was the thought that I had when I looked at this word peculiar. The Amplified says, God's own purchased special people. New American Standard, a people for God's own possession, and the NIV, a people belonging to God. And compare this to the Webster's Dictionary, this is what it had to say, of only one person, thing, group, country, distinctive, exclusive, unique, or special. Something belonging to only one. And I like that. You and I belong to only one. Yet different, I still like the word. And the significance of the word different is that's the way he looks upon us to be. In society today, it's so easy to be ordinary. It's so simple to be like everybody else. We go to our jobs, we do our 8 hours, we come home, or you run your own business and you work till 10 o'clock at night. And Saturdays you sleep in if you can. Sundays, most of the world sleeps in if they can. And we can do the same thing if we choose. And it's so easy to do exactly the same thing that everybody else does. But he calls us peculiar. He calls us what we don't see, that we're different. And I'm challenged by that whole aspect of being different. What does it mean for me to be in society and to be with the construction trades that I'm with and to be with the people I rub shoulders with and the stores that I go into and the paint store and all those different places? How am I meant to be different? How am I meant to be different in my neighborhood, with my neighbors, with the people that I barely talk to? How am I meant to be different? And the big question is, how can I be different? And the thing that becomes very clear to me is if I rely upon my own personality, the only difference I can be is what God made me to be, is just I have things that I like to do that somebody else doesn't like to do, or 327 Chevy, you know, something like this. And there's nothing wrong with a 327 Chevy. I had a 350 Chevy, you know, and it went real fast. It was the first argument Kelly and I ever really had that lasted more than 10 minutes. It lasted about 4 hours because she caught me drag racing it. So, I mean, it was just I promised never to do that. And there was smoke all over the streets. It was down in Porter's Prairie. Great four lanes down through there. You can just get up and go between the lights. And I did, and I got caught. And I like to hunt. Others like to get out on their sleds. Others like to get out fishing. There's so many different aspects that I just think in mind. Well, Kelly likes to stitch and sell candles. And there's so many different myriads. But ultimately, that's still not different, is it? There's no difference in that. What I see is we're called special people for a special purpose. Scripture speaks much of the former and latter reign. In Haggai chapter 2, verse 9, we are told that the latter house would be greater than the former. And I believe that when Jesus went to the cross for you and I, the start of the latter reign began. The start of that new dispensation. And great things began to happen at the hands of ordinary people. And I want to share a few stories with you. Let's talk about Peter for a few moments, in light of the fact that this is where the latter rain began to pour out. Because it wasn't very far into the book of Acts where Peter changed, was it not? In fact, when I consider Peter, it'd be safe to say that he would fit into this congregation perfectly. In fact, I could see him being one of the guys that would be up in the lifts working with us, putting the screws into the drywall and putting his hands to the plow. But there's been much said about Peter, how he tended to put his foot in his mouth before he realized what he was saying. He was a very ordinary kind of guy. He was a fisherman. And in fact, if you spent time with him, and you wouldn't take long to find out what he did for a trade, because he probably smelt like fish. And when he ran into trouble, where did he go? He went back fishing when he lost his vision. So this was his livelihood. You get to know somebody that works on certain kinds of farms, as in pig farms, it doesn't take long for you to figure out where he works, because it's just there. Peter was a fisherman. He was ordinary. And he was very weak. Because in the face of a servant girl, he failed. A simple servant girl, he failed. Matthew 26, verses 69 to 70. He was confronted. Are you one of his disciples? Are you not? Haven't I seen you with this man that is being, you know, put to the task here? No, you're confused. It's not me. You're wrong. Three times he denied Christ. He was weak, and he was frail, and he was in fear. He was ordinary. Very ordinary. But then you begin to take a look at what happened in the book of Acts. And he was one of the 120 that was in the upper room, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon him. The word in the Hebrew, in the Greek, is called dunamis, dynamite. He was infused with the dynamite of the Holy Spirit, and things began to happen. He became the first mass evangelist. For after that event, he began to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, and 3,000 people got saved. Something transformed in this man who not long before walked in fear. Something happened. Now, we all recognize the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Most of us here have experienced it and walk in the blessings and the benefit of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and what a gift it is. Yet, something happened to him that few of us, I think, have really experienced. He went from a man of total fear to a man that stood before a massive crowd in a short period of time and preached the good news of Jesus. And it wasn't long before he went, I'm going fishing. You know, he who I thought was going to be our answer to everything is gone. I'm going fishing. Then he spends time in the upper room, gets filled with the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 are saved through a powerful preaching. Then if you turn to chapter 4 with me, in verse 6, we see a continued transformation of one by the name of Peter. Chapter 4 and verse 6. We could probably repeat this, all of us, verbatim, because this has been such a common scripture. Silver and gold have I not, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Chapter 4 and verse 6. Acts, sorry. Oh, come on now. It can't be. Anybody tell me where it is? Because I have my notes wrong then. Three? There. Thank you, Amanda. Bless you. I heard that voice. I was up early and my eyes weren't working well. Silver and gold have I not, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. We're not talking a lot of time here in this man's life. We're not talking about years of training and years of study and prayer. We're talking maybe months. And he went from fear to preaching the gospel to grabbing hold of the lame man and said, rise up and walk. There was no intercessory prayer. There was no prayer and fasting that we see written down. And he didn't have a dollar to give the man. But he says, such as I have. He knew that there was something now upon him that made him different. And he walked it. And then to chapter 5. Let's make sure we're correct here. And verse 15. This is speaking of Peter, and this is, to me, this is an incredible passage of Scripture. Chapter 5 and verse 15 says, so that they brought the sick out onto the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on them. Then it carries on, also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. We all get the opportunity to lay hands on people. I praise God for this fellowship that it hasn't been just segregated to the pastor. But we all have an opportunity. We all get to lay hands on the sick because we're following the principles of Scripture. But when I look here, there's something very unique and very different going on here. His shadow. My goodness. To me, when I you analyze this for a few minutes, there must have been something going on here. And this is what I have written. So much had the stories of the miracles at the hands of Peter that as they became familiar with his daily routine, because they laid these folks out on the streets for him to pass by, that he must have developed some form of routine. Maybe he went to the temple every day and they knew this is the route that he took. This is speculation. That they knew that something was going on in this man. That they had the faith to believe that even his shadow would be the conduit for a healing. Even his shadow. Everyone was healed. What happened? What was going on in this man's life that caused the people to believe and have the faith that even his shadow? It doesn't say. One thing I find very unique, it doesn't puff up the man a whole lot. It doesn't go into great detail about his life and what he did daily, but there was something going on enough that if you read it closely, something was happening in Peter's life that was going on through him that caused the people to believe that even the shadow. And the shadow is just nothing. It changes over time. You know, it gets to the point when the sun's directly overhead. We don't have a shadow. So the shadow means nothing. But these folks had the faith to believe that even Peter's shadow, a fisherman. Miracles of this nature must have happened with some measure of consistency for the people to do what they did. There had to be something going on in Peter's life that they went, I can do this. How about Jesus? Jesus was known to heal people without a word of prayer. In fact, there were times when it looked as though he was not involved at all in the miracle that happened through him. Turn to Luke chapter 8, verses 43 to 48. Yet again, we know this story so well. Luke chapter 8, verses 43 to 48. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood had stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him, in the presence of all of the people, the reason she had touched him and how she was immediately healed. And he said to her, and this is significant, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Her faith made her well. Jesus, in a sense, had no participation whatsoever. He wasn't even looking for the woman. But something transpired there that caused her to have the faith. Scripture declares that they could not even put down everything that went on in Jesus' life, could they? Because there wouldn't be enough volumes to declare it all. So my conclusion there is that there was something going on in Jesus' life on a daily basis that caused this woman to say, "If I can only touch his garment, that's all I need." And she went against everything that society declared as well. Because of the issue of blood, she was not allowed to be in the public. But her faith overruled what was going on because she was hungry for something more. And that was that healing that she needed. Now we can look at Jesus and we can go, well, that's the Son of God. But as we all know, he came and he walked as a man. He was ordinary in every way, subject to all the same things that we are subject to, but not giving in to one. What went on in his life, and this is the question, what went on in his life that caused this woman to believe that she could be healed by touching a garment, his garment? Interestingly, we never see in Scripture that it ever happened before. There was no manual for receiving your healing available, not like there might be today. She watched him work and came to the conclusion that there was something that he carried, something on his person that could be accessed through a touch. She saw something that could not be seen.
Yes, that's right.
There was something about this person that she could not see because her faith began to operate on the unseen and she acted upon it. And her life was changed. Mark chapter 6, verse 56. This was not a one-time situation, folks. Mark 6 and 56. Wherever he went, into villages, cities, or in the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. This is a whole other realm of what we're used to seeing, is it not? This is a whole other realm that we're almost afraid to believe could happen here. But I've come to believe that nothing is too difficult for the Lord.
Right.
Nothing.
Preach.
Okay, let's take a look at another ordinary man then. There were times in Paul's ministry when he graduated from miracles to what Luke called extraordinary miracles. He walked in a whole other level. It must be considered amazing that the miracle realm became so normal that Luke, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, created a different category of miracles. I have met people in years gone by that have raised folks from the dead. I would consider that as quite extraordinary.
Yeah.
And they are ultimately the most meek, soft-spoken people you could ever imagine. I've met a man from Africa who has a home for motherless babies. And I can't remember the number that he has raised from the dead. But you shake his hand and you wouldn't know that there was anything special about him. But he walked with something that was extraordinary. Scripture records it in this way. Let's turn to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Verses 11 and 12. Now God worked unusual or extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now it's unfortunate that we've gone through times and seasons over the last 30 years that if you give a certain amount of money, you'll get a prayer cloth back to you and you'll be healed.
Yeah.
It's sad that that has been, and it's made such a bad taste in people's mouths that, you know, if you will give $20 to this ministry, we will send you a prayer cloth, put it under your pillow, and your spouse will be saved, or you'll be healed. And you see that, and you kind of get cynical. There was no request for finances here, but even, it says, an apron or a piece of cloth from his body was taken, and those that needed to be set free from the demoniacs were set free from demons, and they were healed, they were set free. So ultimately, what went on in the 80s and 90s, and maybe still today, had a measure of truth. But it did happen in Scripture. What's interesting about this passage of Scripture, aside from the fact that they call it the unique miracle is the distance from Paul, they were recognized as being by the hands of Paul. The miracles that happened through a piece of cloth, through taking the shirt off and taking it home and wrapped somebody in that shirt and they were healed, they still declared that this was of the hands of Paul. Diseases left them and the evil spirits went out of them just through a cloth. I find this absolutely mind-blowing. So where am I going with all this? We see incredible miracles at the hands of the select few, correct? Just a select few? I don't think so. Look at the people that were considered and used. Yes, we have Jesus. But we have a fisherman who walked in fear. And we have a man that was very learned, but was a murderer. He may not have thrust the sword through those that were put in jail, but he was by association a murderer. God used simple people to perform extraordinary miracles. Turn to John chapter 14 and verse 12. John 14 and verse 12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Those who believe. It doesn't say the apostles that are going to walk with me. It says those who believe. So I'm inclined now to believe that you and I have the capability through Christ to have extraordinary miracles working through our hands.
Amen.
Extraordinary miracles. Maybe it's because of what we sit in right now. The building that we're in right now, that I'm beginning, that my brain goes in this direction. But you know what? I don't believe that we're meant to play church upstairs. I don't believe that we're meant to sit upstairs and everything will be different because we travel upstairs. I don't believe it is that way. I don't believe that we've gone from one building to the next just so that we can look good and that we all worked hard and people are quite impressed with what we did in putting walls up. I don't believe it ends there. But I believe that if we're willing to take the steps to do what the Lord wants us to do, extraordinary miracles will come. And the extraordinary miracles that we see here had nothing to do about Peter and Paul. It had to do about these folks that were healed, were attracted to Jesus. We're just conduits. We're just pots. But if we allow our pots to be filled with the right ingredients, then things happen. Incredible stories of healing. When I believe in the fact, they are glimpses into the ways of the Holy Spirit. These unusual methods reveal how he moves. None happened because the people were instructed to behave in a certain way. There was no instructions on how to behave. We have incredible stories of what transpired in the Old Testament. Stories of armies coming from bone and sinew being added and flesh, and they breathed because life was placed into them. But nowhere do we have instructions on prayer cloths being placed upon people. And shadows was all that was needed. Or just touching a garment. Nowhere do we have the instructions. None happened because the people were instructed. Yet people observed something unseen and responded with faith. What's faith say? What is faith? We get right down to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, and it's that scripture we use all the time. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When Pastor brought the vision to us 3 years ago about God said we could have this building if we want to, something unseen. What it was going to be was something unseen. But we responded by faith. And now we're on the threshold of something extraordinary. When I consider what a handful of folks have done, you and I, it's extraordinary, but it's the tip of the iceberg. I'm convinced it's the tip of the iceberg. I'm convinced that it's meant to be full of people serving the Lord. And it's going to take something greater than you and I walk in right now. Each individual involved in receiving a miracle did so by responding to what they perceived rested upon all three. As we know, faith doesn't come from the mind, but it comes from the heart. Yet a renewed mind enhances our faith through an understanding of what is unseen. The miracles these people experienced was not based on years of study and prayer. Doesn't mean that we stop studying and praying. Yes. But the miracles that we see was not based on that. It was based on what they perceived and believed. When I consider the fact that I'm looking at two businesses right now and really praying about what to do, whether even to jump into either, I'm still overwhelmed at the fact that I can see something that isn't in my hands. And if it's God, it will be successful, whether it's easy or not. When I started the business 3 years ago, I've painted for 24 years, but when I started 3.5 years ago, it began a whole new realm of learning. I lost $80,000 the first year. And I think we lost on the second year, didn't we? And I think we barely went above on the third year. And this past year, we made almost 10% profit. Because God showed me something that I couldn't see. When I lost $8,000 in the first year, I could not see victory. I remember sitting on River Street in tears, because I went, I can't do this anymore. Nobody's going to help me. The banks won't help me. Nobody helps me. God won't help me. I can't help myself. And I got slapped around a little bit by my pastor. Suck it up, buttercup. You made your bed, you got to sleep in it. He said that to me too, not the first part, but the second part. And God began to reveal himself, because he never intends for us to finish second place. And these men, Peter, Jesus, and Paul, were not walking second place. They were walking as victors. They were walking in the fullness that God intended. What happened here is they responded to the grace made available in the manifested presence of God through the Holy Spirit that rested on three ordinary people. And I don't say that lightly when I refer to each of these men. When I refer to Jesus, I don't say it lightly that he was ordinary, but he was ordinary. He had to be. If he walked the earth today, would he have some of the same likes as we do? He might just love motorcycles. Would be just right on par. He loved motorcycles. To get the wind in his face and avoid the big things whenever he could. But what I'm saying is, we're ordinary men living ordinary lives. What do we have? What were their talents? Think about it for a second. One was a fisherman. Jesus was a carpenter. Thank you, Sean. Jesus was a carpenter. What did Paul do? He was a tent maker. Three ordinary careers. Three careers with nothing special about them. Sorry, Dale, I don't see a lawyer in the three of them. Years of schooling and training. Philip, I'm sorry. But then there were tax collectors. There was skilled men and unskilled men that walked with him. And they were all used in extraordinary ways. There's one that went to Ethiopia and changed it and turned it upside down. I can't remember who it was. But they changed lives. And I'm convinced that what transpired through the hands of these people was not just for way back when and when the last apostle died, because we have an apostle in our midst anyways. Yeah. We have apostles today, and I don't think it was regulated just to the apostles' ministry, because it says all who believe can do extraordinary miracles. Yeah. Greater than he did. And he raised people from the dead. So what does it mean for you and I? Whether we call them extraordinary or special miracles, I'm convinced that they should be an outflow of the Church of Jesus Christ today. Should be an outflow. To me, it's time for these exceptional stories to no longer be the exception. But having said that, it takes a price. Like I said, if even one caught the vision, and I'm not undone today, and I know I've talked to Pastor and I have an opportunity to share another part because I couldn't put this all together. It all talks about completely what it is about the presence of the Holy Spirit, or hosting his presence and allowing the presence of the Holy Spirit to come through and manifest himself in our lives in ways we've never understood before. There are those that we've seen that have walked it. We've heard about Catherine Coleman and the miracles that happened in her ministry, and it goes on. Do you think that she was super special? She was an ordinary woman. Do you think that God singled her out? There may have been a divine gift placed upon her, but I think in our daily lives, we can be different, and we can see different things happen. We can see extraordinary things happen. What we need to do is to learn to host the presence of God, which is an incredible challenge, because it's learning to let go of us. Whether we're willing to admit it or not, we're a very selfish people. In ordinary things, and in all sorts of things. I mean, we've been, some of us guys are organizing a fishing trip. And we have some purpose in mind. But what if God said no? We'd probably do it, but in some respects, I really want to go fishing. You know what I'm saying? Or what if God said, and this kind of hits home, and there's a lot of things that I can use for me personally, what if God said, sell your motorcycle? Your days are done. Yeah. Unless you ride, you don't understand just what it's like to head down a road, a country road, and the smells and the fresh air It's incredible. I never understood it until 7 years ago when I first hopped on a motorcycle. I was invited onto the back of a nice, great, big Yamaha, and on the back I went and was like, this is incredible. And I was hooked. But if God said, I'd probably have a struggle with it. Because it's all about what I enjoy. The Holy Spirit resting upon us, we've all experienced. But I think we've just tasted a little bit. We enjoy the opportunity to express ourselves in our prayer language. We can sing in the Spirit, we can sing with our understanding. We can pray in the Spirit, we can pray with our understanding. We can follow the unction of the Holy Spirit and have a prophetic prayer going through us. And not even knowing where it came from, but we begin to pray. And we allow the Holy Spirit to come through. And in the middle of the day, I could be driving in my truck and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit speaks to me and I can pray for someone. I think we're still just touching the surface, personally. But if one catches the fact and gains a revelation that, Holy Spirit, I'm yours, do what you want. Work through me, talk through me, breathe through me, heal through me, whatever you want to do, I'm ready. And allows their lives to be transformed. Because Peter's life was radically changed. Amen. Radically changed. Guys in this age are not separated from what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Not at all. Those that are a little bit older than me, because I'm getting on in years, are not separated from this at all. God chooses to use an 85-year-old senior citizen, and the shadow of the person walking by, whether him or her, and people are healed. God will do it if you're available. Kids are actually some of the greatest conduits for miracles because they haven't got a brain that tries to analyze everything that we do. Remember years ago, there's a close friend of ours in Portage of Prairie, their little son prayed for his cat because Jesus wants the cat healed. The cat was sick. Prayed for the cat. And the cat was healed. Why? Because he just believed. He was convinced it was simple faith, but it was profound faith. Childlike faith. Is it childlike faith to believe for extraordinary miracles in our own lives, working through us? Is it childlike faith? Maybe that's a good measure of it. But I think if we learn, and this is where I want to go next time, if we learn how to host His presence. We talk a lot now about His presence. And to me, I find it very special when I can be in prayer on a Monday night and be aware of Him and sense Him speaking to me. That's so cool. But this is on a different level where we begin to walk the streets, going through the malls, in the lines, at Superstore and Walmart and wherever you may go shopping, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit begins to manifest Himself through you and lives are changed in an extraordinary way. Boy, would that rock this town. And it's not about this church. It's about the body of Christ and what He wants to do through the body of Christ. I'd like you to spend time on your own studying these scriptures, seeing what the Lord would say to you about extraordinary miracles. Amen? Amen. Thank you for your time. Just a quick note, we have accomplished the super wall, but there's still...